What are you wearing?
You're 20 years younger than me. Do you want to be my mentor?
Can't we all be friends?
Want to get killed? Maybe hit by a car? Get the Stringer app.
You made most of this list, so...
Yeah, I did. I can't remember where I read this, but we're getting into business coaching a little bit, having some help from others who've been where we're at. Which brings me to somebody somewhere suggested having a mentor under 30. And I'm like, what? We are a little older. We're the Gen X. We're approaching 50 very rapidly. So, I'm afraid, I'm terrified of being set in my ways or becoming a boomer or becoming narrow-minded.
Not even...
Losing sight of the market, you
when
know.
When you're talking about mentor, though, like being... A year or two, close to 50. Like, I don't like going to the doctor and having a younger kid, because all my doctors when I was a kid or younger were way older than me, right? Now I'm just like weirded out. I'm like, you want to see my butt? I mean.
I actually prefer a younger doctor because, number one, they're straight out of school. They're a little bit more ambitious. They're going to listen to
they're
what you say.
Sharper.
And they're not going to tell you you should weigh 92 pounds.
And they're not stuck in their ways.
Still, they're not stuck in
weird.
Some kind of weird,
weird.
Some kind of weird old-fashioned sense of health. I think I go to the doctor more than you, so I guess I'm kind of used to it.
I think I'm in the, like... You know, I think of like my mother, who is probably used to doctors younger than her. I'm at the cusp of like, I'm not ready to accept it because I really feel like I'm 20 still. So I'm just kind of right there with, I'm sure I'll accept it eventually, but mentors.
Yes, I thought, you know what? That actually is a great idea because there are a lot of younger people that are seeing a market that we are not necessarily seeing. I've heard criticism of some older photographers that I know that they're too stuffy, too posed, too traditional.
Not caught
you know,
up with modern times.
Right, and a lot of people want a more creative, modern kind of look to certain photos. And I don't know. I would actually like to know more rather than style. I'd rather know more about. Communicating, how to dress, some of the terminology
well,
that's coming up amongst
you know,
the young people, like
the thing,
some of the social things. It seems to be there seems to be a huge gap.
Well, the thing that we're different in certain ways. Like I am always like looking at the next thing, the new thing, figuring out what people are doing right now. You are kind of like, well, we've always done it this way. And you can be a little bit stubborn, but you should come around, usually.
I think the only thing I'm a stickler about is don't wear yoga pants to a wedding.
We will get to you. Should we go into that?
Don't wear yoga pants to a wedding. I don't care how young you are. It's just not okay.
Well, I wasn't going to go straight
unless you're the bride
wardrobe.
And you're getting married in yoga pants? No, don't,
okay,
don't wear yoga pants.
We don't do weddings, so I don't know what people are wearing to weddings
right.
anymore.
Well,
you do some on the side. But I get asked a lot, God, you're always wearing all black. And, well, aside from that's kind of how I always have dressed, that is a thing. Like, you want to, if you're a video person, if you're shooting an event, you typically... don't want to wear the big Hawaiian shirt when you're up on stage behind the curtain and someone sees you. You want to wear all black. You want to like not draw attention to you. It's called stage black. And actually search it on Google, stage black wardrobe or clothes. You'll see a whole bunch of things specifically for filmmakers and event people that's called stage black clothing. That's why you wear all black.
It's also easier to take you out of a scene or a photograph. You might also get asked for more bread at an event because the servers are also in stage black.
Yes, and that's why. That's
and you know
exactly
what you do?
Why.
you go get the bread. That's
but you see, you know, you see, like, let's say you go to a concert. Here's a great example. And you see, you'll see a lot of those bouncers or security people in all black. And it just... in white print on their shirt somewhere on the back will say security or staff or whatever. Again, stage black. You don't want to draw attention. If you're on the side of the stage or in front of the stage, do not take away attention from the person on the stage. Yeah. Another thing that we're not dressing up in suit and ties, even though all we do is business, is you're gonna, if you're doing a shoot outside, you're probably gonna either be on your knees in some mud or laying down in some wet grass somewhere to get some shot.
Yeah, that.
Well, that's why you get to be the talking one. You get to shoot.
Right, and I do agree with that, but I think you can go too far. I think there are a lot of videographers that are just absolutely sloppy, and it just, I think it's just because I'm old fashioned. I really think that's the truth, but I don't know. I just, I always.
I do think you're a little old fashioned in that.
I always just try to look. I try to be prepared for anything. Like, you know, I have a suit in my car. I have a dress in my car. You know, just a quick change of clothes. But I also have, like, you know, the comfies. So I have several pairs of sweatpants and t-shirts here for when I'm painting or whatever. But I also have a suit ready for somebody comes to the studio for a headshot or whatever.
No, so. In the studio you can do whatever. You know, a lot of like camera people have the whole rig with a tape hanging from them and XLR cables around it.
In that case, yeah, it doesn't matter what you have underneath. I remember those days with those jackets where they had all the pockets, and I had them all full of lenses and bodies and film and everything else. So, but to wear a shirt with holes in it and jeans that half your butt hangs out of,
you dress appropriately.
It's not okay. I don't care.
Dress appropriately for what you dress as nice as you can for what you're doing.
Right.
If you're going to be
that means yoga pants at weddings are not okay.
If you're going to be at a construction site and you're going to have probably mud flowing at you from the thing that goes by, wear that safety vest, that high visibility vest and hard hat. It doesn't matter. You don't want a tie for that shoot.
Right.
So.
Yeah. That's. I'm okay with the suit and tie going out of style, even though I have a lot of executives that they will come both. They'll come with their suit jacket and their tie, and they'll want to be photographed both ways. And it really depends on the boss sending them to have their headshot. But I'm not going to tell a CEO to put on a tie. You know.
Well,
it's up to him.
The one thing that I find interesting here is living in Oregon for 20 years, there's a business casual. No one wears a suit and a tie. You know, if you go anywhere in Eugene, Oregon, and someone's wearing a suit and tie, they are a lawyer, period. Everybody's doing, maybe a polo shirt.
A whole swan costume would be acceptable there.
I had a big client when I was doing computer work, and I finally had to meet up with them. And so I got the button-up shirt gotten ready, getting nice pants, and I'm supposed to meet him at this cafe somewhere.
And he knew you were from Ohio.
We don't have cafes that people meet at. There's like two in town in Dayton, but they were everywhere. So I met this guy, and he shows up, dreadlocks down to here, his t-shirt and his shorts are torn up, and it's just covered in paint. And I got the button-up shirt going on. I'm like, I think I overdressed. But, for Dayton, Ohio, I probably really underdressed.
Yeah.
Trying to balance those kind of.
Yeah, way. I don't know. That's changing a lot. I mean, and I am definitely less judgmental. But I still, if I hire a photographer and man, the way I dressed when I was a teenager,
definitely.
The midriff showing, the short skirts. When I see that now, you've got to change.
We've actually had
to have someone change before.
Extra help.
And it's just that, the midriff. And God, don't get me wrong, the girl is stunning and beautiful, and she didn't look inappropriate. It just was not appropriate for the business world that we're working in. So, but you need the 38-year-old to tell you, hey. It's okay if I have holes in my jeans, or it's okay if I have pink hair, fine now. But
just back to that stage black thing again. I don't think anybody noticed. She's wearing stage black, and she's right here in the middle. She's big and smiling. Yeah. She has had wanted nothing to do with us pretty much until we went live.
Yeah, maybe it's snack time.
All right. smack time.
So I don't know. What's everybody think of the younger mentors?
Hold on. Let's just back to the wardrobe. You watch movie behind the scenes stuff, and you're like, I can't believe the way they're dressing when they're shooting a movie. And I'm like, they're working 14, 15, 18 hours.
That doesn't mean you have to wear shirts with holes in them.
You gotta be able to breathe.
Or Punisher shirts, which should be outlawed.
No one does that in movies. Okay, you gotta let me go, Penny. You're getting real pushy.
You know what? There's... Just don't wear holes.
Dress appropriately for the shoot. If you're shooting a movie, if you're behind the camera, wear whatever you want.
Whatever, everybody. I guess I would check.
If you're doing a movie and you're doing those long hours, I think you're fine. If you're doing a business shoot and you're going to be outside and you know you're getting that B-roll in the mud or the wet grass because it rained last night, dress appropriately.
Hire a second shooter to do it for you.
And don't let the client see them. No. Shoot for what you're... You are. And stage back is a thing. I just really want people to know that that really is a term. And you really can Google that. So back to under 30 people.
I don't know. My kids.
Are they mentoring you?
No. Well, I mean, to a point, but...
Well, I think the key to that is just don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in your ways.
Or be judgmental. I mean, there's a lot of very talented young people out there.
I think, I can't mention names, but there are a lot of people who, and this is not just video and photography, this is any business. This could be a barber who just gets used to doing something. A barber is actually a great example because hairstyles change so much.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Who just gets stuck and this is how I do it. This is how I've always done it. What do? We look for whatever, what are people not doing and what can we provide that? So that's important for us to stay ahead of the curve because everybody's kind of stuck in doing what they're doing around
trends take on really quickly and take off and people do get stuck in them a little bit. And I think that they get, it gets to be a bit much.
And, you know,
oversaturated, I think, would be the best word for it.
Yeah, and when I say hip and cool, I do not mean a natural light photographer. I mean...
Please don't label yourself as such.
Right.
Because it sounds like you don't know how to use electronic lights.
There might be...
And there's nothing wrong with a truly natural light photographer. There's nothing wrong with that.
I am a...
It's just, I just... would never label myself something that would put me in a category of not being able to use artificial lighting and flash and those kind of things.
I was talking to a friend of mine who has just created, she has been on one of our podcasts about a year ago. She, in the space of that amount of time, she has created a very successful cheese industry, cheese making place. She is getting distributed, she's doing vegan cheese. And we were just randomly talking. I mean, she has a whole facility now and equipment and whatnot. And we were talking about social media. She says, well, you know, Instagram ain't what it used to be. And I'm like, well, I haven't heard that. I don't know. And then she was like, well, where's your main audience at? And I said, well, I think most of our people are on Facebook. And she says, well, and she's actually older than me, but it still kind of makes an example. Oh, that makes sense for the older demographic that you probably
have. She's also in a much more progressive area. And we do have an older demographic. And there's nothing wrong with that because these are established businesses. But we want to...
But knowing that Facebook is the older demographic...
Right. That has really dawned on me. I've really noticed that lately because getting into TikTok, I actually... before we get into... talking about collaboration with other photographers and all that, I was walking my dog, and I ran into a little girl that just wanted to pet my dog. And she's like, can I pet your dog? And a little chihuahua was Sammy. I'm like, sure. And she's like, can I take pictures for TikTok? And I'm like, okay. And she just tiny little, I mean, she couldn't have even been six. She was with two looked like two siblings. So I was like, well, okay. And so she took pictures of me and my dog. And this big, she pulls this iPhone 11 out of her pocket. And I'm like, you know, you better be careful. Somebody might try to snatch that from you. And then she's like, well, here's my information if you want to see your pictures. And they were absolutely beautiful pictures of me and my dog. I need to go and actually grab those and get them. And it's a six-year-old.
How old?
She's my new mentor. She was probably 6 years old. I mean, she was so teeny. She may have been eight, but she was very smart. And just
she
a little,
does she have a card? Or
little, I don't know, but I was just like, I was like, you better be careful giving your information, you know, you're giving your information out. So I had to give her a lecture. But I just thought that was a, you know, the TikTok is a big deal for the young people. And I guess
TikTok
that's
is where people are,
right.
The younger group.
I can't sit through some of it. I mean, I like the dog videos and stuff, but I'm just like, and the gymnastics and dancing and things like that. But some of it, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't be back on something boring like Facebook or LinkedIn.
Like my,
does anyone think LinkedIn is boring?
LinkedIn, let's talk about that for a second. That's not even on our list, but my gosh, you know, we post on LinkedIn. I don't think we put too much effort into it.
Oh, I always post anything that we post, it goes to LinkedIn and it gets no attention, even though that's where all my business connections are. I always get the connections on Facebook with personal, you know, more personal posts. LinkedIn just seems to be too uptight. Over, it's a guy in a tie with us.
Over the years, the last couple years, I've had people tell me, no, you need to be on LinkedIn, that's where it is. It seems like LinkedIn is a thing where everybody feels like they need to be, but they don't want to be.
Well, at the same time, when we're getting ready to interview somebody or do a headshot for somebody we don't know, the first thing I do is Google their name and their title, and LinkedIn always comes up first. So, and if they don't have a picture on their LinkedIn profile, I think, you can kind of ask, you can kind of figure out the age demographic and how interested they are in social media.
LinkedIn is a little bit behind. I mean, they're live streaming thing. Every time I go there, let's say I go there maybe twice a week, I have 20 notifications about nothing.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with me. Yeah. I have 18 messages.
They're spam.
That are just like, blah, blah, here's an automated thing from so-and-so.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I mean, it's not fun. I mean, businesses are not as stuffy as they used to be. They want to, like I said, I think everybody is there because they feel like they have to be there in the business world, but they don't want to be there.
Right. It just, it does. It seems very stuffy, uptight, and boring. And for some reason, we get no attention on LinkedIn.
Well, we have.
Even though I want to shift from Facebook because of the drama and the Facebook jail and all that awful things based on what kind of words you choose.
You got put
in Facebook. I did. I'm still restricted slightly because I said, and I guess like, oh gosh, am I gonna go back if I say this? I said that I was very frustrated with the storm and I wanted to blow up my car and burn down my house. And
her car
and
was
I think
stuck
it was,
in the snow.
Right, I think it was a joke. I think it was blow up and burn down. It was hate speech is what they labeled me as. And I think that's a bit extreme, but I'm gonna really watch what kind of words I use just so that I don't set someone off. I think that, like I said, I think it's extreme. I think it's ridiculous, but
I don't even use words on Facebook anymore. I just hit like sometimes. I rarely.
Yeah, I'm very cautious what I use now because I don't agree with the censorship, but I really need Facebook to stay connected with my audience. And so the last thing I want to do is be offensive, and I definitely apologize if.
I've been watching.
If I have. Cause some kind of, I don't know, I think, like I said, it's an algorithm. They just picked it up, and I just happened to be unfortunate enough to have
Facebook
to pay the price
is on the
for
way
that.
Out, I think.
I think so,
is.
Too, because are you getting censored for, I mean, it's one thing if you post a bunch of things that aren't true, which I'm also afraid of, you know, the fact-checking. So I've just completely stayed away from anything political and just posted very personal, fun things about myself without saying anything bad. I'm careful with my words. But people are being censored so badly that they're just, I'm actually watching my friends disappear off Facebook. I'm watching my number of friends go down. And it's not because they're deleting me. It's because they're deleting themselves because they're just, you can't be yourself. You can't share. It has nothing to do with
Facebook
politics.
Lost.
It has to do with just a goofy, weird algorithm of censorship.
If you look at Facebook stock, a couple weeks ago it dropped like 23%, which was I forget how many billions of dollars. And you might consider that a fluke, and it should just come right back up because of whatever happened that day. But no, it hasn't come up. It just keeps, now it's a steady trickle down. And people are sick of the platform.
Oh, I've noticed a lot of people saying, I'm afraid to say da-da-da, I'm afraid to express this. And
well, between Facebook jail and the polarized planet we live on, it's kind of a weird place to be. And frankly, Zuckerberg's getting a little older and his little metaverse thing he's trying to, it's just really not in line with what's happening today.
Right. I don't think that's going to go over well.
And the ads.
I think something's going to come in and take over. There's going to be a safer place to be. I mean, everybody
like
wants
fall MySpace.
Right. Everybody wants to be in a safe place to speak their mind. But also nobody wants to hear a hate message or any really crude, extreme politics. So, you know, where's a safe place to express yourself?
What? The internet was made for dog and cat videos and pictures. So
see, now if you just stick to that, it'll be okay. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, the worst thing that happened.
But man, my friends on Facebook and my relationships on Facebook in business and personally are very important. And I don't want to jeopardize that in any kind of way.
Where do you go? You go to the next platform.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, LinkedIn obviously can't get
LinkedIn
together
is just
their
very,
algorithm
I mean,
is
I must,
a mystery to marketers.
I must be the most boring thing in the world to LinkedIn because I get no like. See, people, if you see me on LinkedIn, please give me a like. I feel my esteem is suffering.
Oh, I put you in LinkedIn jail.
Oh.
Totally put you in LinkedIn jail.
Okay.
So.
That's it.
So, wow, okay, I'm kind of getting ready to wrap things up a little bit.
I'm looking at our list and it says something about adding insects to sound.
I want to talk about sound, but there was another point to sound that I wanted to go into and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But I guess we can tell the story.
Oh yeah, well since we brought up insects and sound. Yeah.
The first year of COVID. It's weird that we have to say the first year of COVID.
Right. I expected that.
We had to shoot a series of videos for client, and we had to do them all outside because, you know, COVID and stuff. And
yes.
And these are longer form interviews where we're going to chop this up, and maybe something they say at the end is going to be at the beginning, and it's going to get all mixed up. Shooting outside is a challenge. We just did a shoot inside of our studio today with a client, client's client, whatever. And it was a controlled environment. We had control of everything, and if it didn't work out, it was our fault.
Right.
Except for maybe
to a point,
some of the cars outside.
The drag strip outside.
But when you're shooting outside in just some location, I mean, and there's a highway or there's nature, it's a park and people are walking.
Yeah, people are playing and yeah.
Walking past in weird, inappropriate costumes.
It was Halloween. And that cat lady looked great.
It was a religious video. I mean, it actually wasn't religious, but it was for a more conservative client.
Right, yeah. But that was great. Thank God for BKM.
So they're saying something great in the background in this, scantily clad woman walks by in the background.
Yeah, in like, a cat, oh, like geez. A cat costume. I think that was just adorable.
We
all just kind of lost it.
Point being, yeah, and we were running late because it was starting to get dark.
Dark, right.
So, point being is these uncontrolled environments, anything can happen, and you're trying to get good sound.
Right.
So cicadas were out. We're doing this kind of a long,
that was a very long,
I think it was like an hour long
interview. There was some foreign language that had to be interpreted
No, this was not that one. It was a different one. It was.
That was the one where they got dark and the cat came through.
Yeah, the
cat lady.
Yeah, the other one was like the kids and the mother.
Okay, yes, cicadas.
And cicadas were going crazy and then they would stop forever. And then they would start going again, and they're really loud. Like, you just hear them in the background.
Yeah.
We're under the trees where they're at.
Right, well, even with the lav mic, you know, when the person stops talking, it picks up everything else, which is the cicadas, and they have a lot to say.
So the client came back after the edit, and so the edit's like this. Cicadas, two sentences said with cicadas in it, two sentences said without cicadas, two sentences said. So it's just the background just sounds crazy. It just, it doesn't flow, and you can definitely hear it. So I think the comment on the video was, fix nature. So I went out into the forest and...
He shot all the cicadas. It was terrible.
So what I did, because I can't do anything about the cicadas when they were making their noise, I added cicadas. I took a section and looped it of cicadas from when no one was talking and added it to the parts where they weren't making noise. And it sounded perfect.
Right, because you don't notice, right? You don't notice if you're at your picnic or whatever. And
I had to add background noise where there wasn't.
So who would think that you would add cicada noise? Yes. Yes, and we actually have to do that. That's why it's so important to add, to record ambient sound. You know, if you have the roar of 35, which is literally right outside our window, you know, we want to have that to add.
That's the same with, like, maybe you have a loud air conditioner.
Right.
And it kicks on and off, or heater even. And if it's that noticeable in the video when it kicks off and then kicks on... And you have those things, and you got to cut together. Maybe you got to add some air conditioner in there, to make it flow when you cut up those different parts of the video. So yes, record ambient sound with and without that air conditioner. Actually, more so with. The other thing with that ambient sound, if it's something steady like an air conditioner, there's software where you can kind of remove that if you need to.
Right. Good luck.
It works. To some degree, sometimes.
Yeah, that's your thing. Sometimes I do the visual.
Sometimes it just digitizes the voice and everybody sounds like robots. They sound like our new robot overlords. I don't know, this last little thing, we're hitting our, close to hitting our limit. Do we want to go into this?
Oh gosh, man. Yeah, why not?
All right, I'm gonna show you. Okay, we still kind of keep track of this place. If you go back to our very first podcast, we do a very big segment on this company. We talk about Thumbtack and Fiverr and Stringer, places that kind of take advantage of creatives and basically get away with not paying you anything, make a lot of money off of your talent, and kind of whore you out to... to people.
You're going to go to Facebook too.
And you're going to, you are going to get a lot wider reach because they have people coming to them, but these people are looking for a deal.
Right. So the Stringer platform is this. It is, say a news company will contact Stringer and say, hey, we need this content for our newscast. Stringer will make a post that says we need this shot, that shot with an interview and blah, blah, blah for a set amount of money. And it actually sounds like kind of a good idea. But we got really taken advantage of while we were working for them and decided it wasn't a good idea. So we stopped. Now we still watch.
We still watch. Now, we should rehash a little bit about not just doing news, but we got these so-called pro requests where get to go and shoot real videos that weren't just news, or maybe they were news, but they just needed better quality.
It was like a commercial,
Internal communications video.
Right, yes.
We're talking like, if you look at their platform right now, it's like $35, $50. This was like $550 for something like that.
Right.
We still got bad information throughout that. Terrible information. We traveled. Definitely did not get paid what we were worth. They told us
we didn't get paid for. We put 8 hours into it, and they said it would be 2 hours, a guy, and a phone.
Yeah.
It was a whole commercial with half their staff
to be
a part of this commercial. They had a script and everything. And had we not known what we were doing, had we showed up with our phone and a microphone, not that there's anything wrong with that if you know how to go about filming something like this, but I don't think just anybody could have pulled that off. I think we could have pulled it off a lot better if we had had more time. But still, I don't know if I'd put my name on that. You know what I mean?
Switched that wrong for a second there.
That's okay.
You might have got your audio might have got cut just for a second.
That's all right.
But yeah. Anyways, they were bad. So. We are paying attention to you know, what they post up in our area. So here is things. There's two screenshots here because I had to scroll, and this is $35. So this is practically nothing. Police said of I-75 northbound shut down due to a pursuit. This is where the suspect vehicle was stopped, requesting 20 to 25 clips of video. Please try and effort information on the scene. We believe this is related to an officer being hit by a car in Dayton. Wow.
So you're sending someone out with their phone.
With no journalism
experience. This can be a 16-year-old with no journalism experience. I mean, there's a reason you go...
On a highway, stopping on a
highway. There's a reason you used to go to school for 4 years for photojournalism. There are ethical things and safety precautions that you learn when you're shooting news. And so they're sending out... I mean, it's just a matter of time before something terrible happens. They're sending out anybody and everybody with their phone...
On the side of a highway.
On the side of a highway for an officer... being hurt.
They hadn't even caught the person yet.
They haven't caught, you don't know what the situation is. I mean,
ran down an officer.
Does that person have a gun? I mean, what are you walking into? I mean, I remember I was 2 years into my journalism career for the Springfield News Sun, and it was when those kids were missing in Urbana. And the father who went to jail for their death was sitting on the porch with a shotgun, and my boss, Marshall, called and said, you're going to go to the fair today. I don't want you anywhere near the site. You know, you're not experienced enough. And I remember having a fit. And I was 4 years educated, 2 years into my career. So I got out my bulletproof vest and went ahead and went anyway. And I got scolded a bit for that. But luckily, everything turned out okay.
But
you know what I mean? What if Stringer sent somebody to that scene with their phone?
Well, okay, who's going to be liable?
Are the news people going to be in trouble?
No,
or is this Stringer people that are absolutely exploiting the public? They're exploiting photographers. And, you know, I'm not holding back anymore. They're absolute garbage. I just think that they should be shut down.
And
they're putting people who are trying to make a buck in a lot of danger, in my opinion. They're going to make the news stations look bad.
They're sending people out to shootings or stabbings where...
And it's always that. You don't get to go to the pumpkin of the month thing, which is what they should be doing, because that's fun.
May not even be caught yet and still...
Very dangerous fires. I mean, there are things that you need to know to protect yourself from getting hurt in those situations. The biggest one being, don't cross any police lines. Don't... stay back. If you need to go somewhere or want to go somewhere, ask, please. Don't go out and just do this. It's very dangerous.
Now,
and I have been very lucky in my life. Honest to God, I have almost been decapitated by a helicopter because I walked right into the blades. I've almost been hit on the side of the road. I have, who was that murderer that was in Springfield?
Wasn't there a book made about
it? Yes, there was. He was kind of the Jeffrey Dahmer of Springfield. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But I was warned that he was a very friendly guy and he would show up at the crime scenes. And of course he was nothing but sweet to me, you know. But
you know, I will say this, just recently, we were coming back from a client site in another city. We just shoot up in Columbus, which is about, an hour from here. And we did capture some good video that...
Yeah, we just kind of ran across this.
Wasn't used.
But you'll
anything.
See how far back I stayed because I'm not getting any younger.
And this also wasn't even planned. I'm going to turn down the sound here. We'll just play it. I didn't plan to show this, but fully involved vehicle on fire.
Yeah. And that was one of those things where when we were going by, there were much more flames. So you can see that I stopped and stayed back as far as I could.
We got a 25x zoom on that.
Too. Right.
All the way zoomed in.
Right.
So we're pretty far.
And the flames are already very down. But then I shut it off and I didn't go past this truck here because look at them backing up. I mean, you never know when that's going to blow. And I've seen that happen too. And you feel the heat from that. And it's very scary. I mean, these things really do happen. People really do get hurt very badly and killed. Journalists.
There's some good camera work we got going on.
And what is going to happen when some 16-year-old with their phone shooting for Stringer gets killed? I mean,
Yeah, well, you have how many years of journalism experience? So.
I have since 1995. However many years that is, I don't do math. I would say I'm more cautious than I've ever been in my life.
And, you know, on this part where we were able to pull over and be completely out of the way of the traffic, so.
Yeah, you really
we weren't even close.
You want to stay out of the way of the law enforcement and the first responders,
That's
too.
Another thing that we saw.
Otherwise, you lose for so
went out
much respect.
And did some of those jobs. The first job we got was $350. So, I mean, that job we just showed you to, like, there's a person out with a car hitting cops. Who hasn't been caught yet? That was what
$35.
I mean, we got $300 and something.
And I just, I don't. Why isn't someone doing something about this? I mean, I think it's very, very, very dangerous and very bad.
It's very irresponsible of a Stringer just trying to make a buck. But whatever, you know, our very first podcast, the CEO watched it, and we actually had a little bit of face to face with some of their people. About it, and a response from the CEO, and it seems like they only really latched on to, they didn't latch on to any of our concerns, they only latched on to, oh, you had some payment issues, we tried it, blah, 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 and okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't think it's a great idea for somebody that might be passing by something. Like I said, man, send these people to the Pumpkin of the Month Club.
I think
the television stations too. Send the people somewhere safe. That this is very dangerous, guys.
Yeah, and there. Is this even 1099 work? Or you know, I mean, seriously.
I don't know. No, I honestly don't know. We
never did 1099.
We never claimed.
They never sent us anything.
That's true. They didn't. You're right. Yes. But yeah. Okay. I mean, I understand that things are hard right now, and everybody wants to make money, and the news people need footage, but man.
But if you do it, be careful, man.
No, there's,
don't pull off on the side of the highway.
Human life is a little more important than any of these things.
Yeah.
Wait till your kid gets hit on the highway.
Don't die for your $25 from these guys. So.
Or let your kid, what about these kids?
Yeah, I know. So, I think that pretty much covers everything.
Now that we're all angry.
Well, actually, it doesn't cover everything. We got a half page here of stuff.
It covers our rude opinion.
It just says, put aside for another live stream.
Oh, so. It says art and dumb furniture sales. Hmm. Let's see what he thinks of my furniture art now.
Well, on that note, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Definitely check out our other podcasts. You can find us where?
Pixel Pusher something.
Well, you can find us right here in the Davis Linden building. You can also find us at
WeDoVids.com.
And we're kind of on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You heard
somebody
what we said.
Like me on LinkedIn.
On Facebook because we're old.
I feel like everybody hates me on LinkedIn. They're like, oh God, scroll quickly.
We try to keep up with Instagram a bit.
Instagram, huh?
And
I'm too old.
And yeah, so what we're gonna do is close with. I swear I put it in here. Maybe not. Oh, I did. We're gonna close with a recent proof of concept video we did for a client, and it's all her on a green screen.
Oh God.
Have a good night, guys.
19 pandemic has forced business events, conferences, and trade shows into the virtual world. Before COVID-19, virtual, if offered at all, was an optional component of an event, not an essential one. Even with the pandemic winding down, the verdict is in. Hybrid events are the new norm. Increase your attendance at your event by having in-person and virtual attendees simultaneously. Don't treat your virtual event like a Zoom or GoToWebinar meeting. Treat it like the Oscars. WeDoVids can provide professional projection services with multiple cameras, sound, and more. Don't cut corners on the image you present to your customers. Contact us today.